This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, everyone. It's Paul Bertarelli reporting from Aero, the Aero Expo in Friedrichshafen, Germany. I'm with Michael Kraft of Lycoming. Michael, you've been the go-to guy on development of a 100 low-lead replacement. There are a couple of important but kind of subtle developments that you probably ought to clue us into.
Well, one of the biggest ones is that in the FAA reauthorization bill, which is making its way through Congress right now, there's language in there that actually gives the administrator the toolkit needed to throw the switch on the unleaded fuel transition. You know, it's rather dull language to read through, but it's incredibly meaningful because, you know, in all of the past before on the fuel, where you get to the stumbling block was how do you implement? Do you have to get an STC for the aircraft? Is it a drop-in solution? You know, what's going to be the at the end impact for implementation on that? This effectively gives the administrator the authority to sign off on putting this fuel into service. And that's a huge deal. It's rather boring to follow. But we've got both the House and the Senate now basically not touching this language. And it's going to go through in the reauthorization. That's a huge enabler and rather dull but huge.
Yeah, and the reason I think it's huge is because this fleet-wide approval has always been a big worry. So you get a fuel out there.
Yes.
Now you have to have a mechanism to kind of thread that through all of the engine requirements and the type certificates and all of that. And this basically eliminates that.
Yes. I mean, basically, at the latter phases of the PAFI process and the latter phases of the evaluation, we'll generate a data package which will allow the FAA to basically throw the switch. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of elbow grease to go generate that data package, but what we lacked before was implementation means. So it's a big deal. The logistics picture on the fuels problem never ceases to amaze me how hard changing over the world to a different fuel actually is. And it's pretty darn hard. It's more than the technology problem.
Okay, so we got two fuels that came out of the PAFI process, one from Shell and one from Swift. Both are meet the octane requirements. Now, what, another 2.5 to 3 years of testing, actual engine testing and more test cell work? What are we going to learn from that process?
Well, they're entering into phase two testing. And phase two testing is far more applied in the aircraft than actually in the test cell. So to a large extent, phase one was really kind of the down and dirty test cell work. Phase two is going to be focused more on examining what the real operating limitations are of the fuel. That data package collection is really spooling up right now in 2016. The majority of that will be done in 2017, and I think afterwards is kind of putting the wrapper around that. So we are on track. You know, Lycoming is part of the technical advisory committee. That doesn't mean that we're evaluating the full, but we're providing, you know, comments on test plans, test equipment, running tests in conjunction with the FAA and other manufacturers to get it through. So the real engineering work is happening now, and it's going to ramp up with a lot more operating limitation window. What are we going to learn? You know, you never know till you get there. I think we've learned a lot along the way in terms of other materials compatibility issues, other performance issues. We remain pretty positive that we're going to find a solution. Now, is it going to result in aircraft not, you know, all aircraft actually having no changes to anything on them? I don't know. I think at some point when you introduce a new fuel, anything of this magnitude, we're going to at least make recommendations on maintenance procedures and whatnot, because you want to be tracking what's going on at some level. Maybe not, but we still would assess the technological success level of this being very high. And if we can get through a lot of logistics pieces, and now with the FAA reauthorization language that holds, we have an implementation means. So we remain pretty positive on it.
How would you grade the process A to F so far?
You know, I think had the, I would say, FAA and PAFI known at the responses that we were going to get from the solicitation, they probably would have adapted the program a little bit. Once you get into it, it's really hard to change a government requisition program. I think from what we see, this is running at a B, B plus range. I think from the outside, it may look like a C, whatever, just because hindsight's always 20/20. You probably would have organized the program a little bit differently if we'd known that, what was it, something like 8 people would submit 16 different formulations. I think we were, in terms of getting formulas into the process, we were far more successful than ever imagined. And had we known that to be the case, we probably would have reoriented the program.
Okay, thanks for the time, Michael.
Thank you.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Aero Friedrichshafen in Friedrichshafen, Germany. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.